And our second piece this week is a speech given by Professor Tim Congdon. Now, this speech, as you will hear, is a very measured and carefully constructed look at the way in which the European Union impacts on the British economy and on other aspects of our national life. It was delivered to an absolutely packed hall at the Abbey Centre. There were over 200 people present. In places, of course, you can hear the crowd interrupting, so I'm afraid that's the nature of these live recordings. But it really is worth listening to. One of the most interesting talks I've ever listened to.
Thanks, Speaker. Thank you, Tim.
Well, great pleasure to be here this afternoon. As you know, after dinner speakers crack jokes, and I'm one of the after lunch speakers, and I've been given the graveyard slot, as it's sometimes called. And ladies and gentlemen, it gets worse, because as you may also know, I'm an economist, and economics has been called a dismal science, so you see before you a dismal scientist. Having said all that, I was economic spokesman, my name's Tim Congdon, I was economic spokesman for UK Independence Party from 2010 to 2014. And one of the many pleasures I had in that role was indeed to put together these documents. Gerard started them back in 2006. And we'll try and make them annual. They're quite hard work, but there we are. I saw my job as economic spokesman as being to provide facts, provide ideas, and so on, for us, the poor bloody infantry, FBI, in our debates that we had over the last few years. Obviously, we're on the threshold of a very big national debate now. And again, my job, coming up with other people, is to provide facts, ideas, arguments, and so on. And that's what I want to do this afternoon. You win debates, first, because you have good arguments. You have the right arguments. You win debates because you believe in those arguments, and you convey them with passion, conviction, with belief, and so on. And finally, thirdly, you persuade other people that you're right, and then you win the debate. So what I want to do is to set out some of the reasons why I believe we must leave the European Union. They are economic arguments. May I also just say before I move on that although, yes, I'm an economist, dismal scientist, that in fact, to me, this isn't really about economics. It's about, you know, my country, it's about politics, it's about my identity. And even if by leaving the European Union I was to be poorer, my country was to be poorer, I would still want Britain out of the European Union. It really is about who we are and what we, you know, what kind of country we want to live in. Of course it is. Having said all that, actually, we would be much better off out. Much better off out. One of the key points that Gerard did back in 2006 and in subsequent issues of this document was to distinguish between two kinds of costs that we incur because we're in the European Union. There's the direct cost, and that is the cost that because we pay taxes to the government then pays this money to European Union institutions, and this is a direct payment to the EU institutions for the EU's purposes. Okay. But then there are many other costs of an indirect nature. And what I really want to hammer home this afternoon is that the indirect costs are much larger. And I'm going to just spend a few minutes on that. Now, on the direct costs, they have risen sharply while David Cameron has been Prime Minister. And one of the worst things about David Cameron is that he's a liar. He has said, while he's been Prime Minister, that he, you know, uniquely has actually reduced the European Union budget. Oh, no, he hasn't. And he certainly hasn't reduced Britain's contribution to the EU's budget, because the figures are actually in official white papers to show that he is wrong. The cost of you pay some money in, we get some money back, there's the rebate and there's some spending here, but the net cost to Britain has risen from about 4 billion or so when Blair and Gordon Brown were Prime Minister to over 10 billion in the last couple of years. The exact figure, by the way, is you wonder what 10 billion pounds is. It's I think the way to think about this for a household, it's the cost of a nice weekend holiday. All right? It's not dramatic, but actually it's a cost. You know, some people actually save up for the weekend holiday, you know, 6 months' time, and it's a cost. The gross cost, what we pay in and some comes back, is more like £20 billion, £55 billion a day. And mind you, that's a better measure of the cost, because some of the money that comes back is very badly spent, and it's not just, by the way, UKIP view that it's badly spent. Governments, all parties, have wanted the spending of that money repatriated because they know it's spent badly by the EU bureaucracy. So the direct cost is £10 billion plus, or about £20 billion. If you want to give the full figure, it's about, I would say, 1.25% of GDP. And I know I'm an economist, I've already used the phrase GDP. That's how much we produce as a nation. It's a bit more than 1% of what we produce as a nation. It's an issue. Of course, the other 99% is ours, so it should be. But let me now just emphasise that the indirect costs are much, much larger. These costs are under various headings, and you'll see it all set out in this document. And by the way, in the rather bulky documents I produced in 2012 and 2013, all on my website, by the way, timgonglandukip.com. The first cost is regulation. We have to have more electricity from renewables. That's costly. Our labour market is subject to all sorts of rules and regulations from the European Commission. That's costly. There's all sorts of rules and regulations about products and substances that come from the European Union. That's costly. And then I think the more and more important nowadays, there's regulation on the City of London on international financial services, which again is having major costs for city industries. I give a figure for these costs of over 6% of GDP, 6% of what we produce as a nation. That sounds like a large sum of money, it is, and I'm prepared to defend that, because let me just emphasize this. This is very important. You will see that every single statement I make in here is not my opinion. It is supported by a footnote and a reference to an authority on the subject. All right? It's not me who said these things. It's somebody who knows what they're talking about. All right? The second big cost is, I'm an economist, resource allocation. I know, blind to the science. We pay too much for some of our imports. We don't get enough for some of our exports. Okay? That's what it really means. We pay too much for our food. We pay too much for a number of industrial products nowadays. The Commission has become rather protectionist in some areas. And so we're worse off for that reason. And then there are a miscellany of things that have become important in the last 2 years. Obviously, there's been immigration, mass immigration from the rest of the European Union. That has meant fewer jobs for some people in this country, lower wages, and lower, certainly people like building contractors having to compete with Poles and so on, they're well aware that they're getting less than they would have got otherwise. That has reduced the incomes of, if you like, the long-term British. There's been people coming here to use the NHS. There's been health tourism, as it's called. There's benefit tourism, where, you know, people come in to work here, they get tax credits, particularly that kind of level from Eastern Europe, they come and they work at a little bit beneath the national average, they get tax credits, they send them home, no, Eastern Europe. It's a cost to us. And also, we have to make payments into various EU funds in case Greece goes bust again. That's a cost to us as well. So I added all these up, and I came in 2012, the first one of these I did, to 10% of GDP. Nice round number. I didn't expect to get 10% of GDP, just what came out, you know, from all these different sources. It wasn't my point of view. The treatment of GDP was Patrick Minford, you know, my mate Patrick Minford. All of these figures came from other sources. They didn't. I said why I put them in there. Okay. We are poorer because of these indirect costs. They are huge costs. Now, how am I going for time? By the way, let me just make clear one point. I'm not claiming. That as and when we leave the European Union, you know, tomorrow morning we're better off by 10% of GDP. We really could be better off by that, you know, 1% of GDP, which is what we pay to the institutions. The damage from the EU has been cumulative over 40 years, and particularly over the last 20 or so years. Okay? It will take a long time for us to recover, you know, to get the right energy policy, to overcome the effects of EU labour market regulations. All these things will take time. But it's that kind of number that is the right kind of number to think about. We are much, much worse off because we belong to the EU than we would be if we had remained, from the 1970s, an independent sovereign nation. I want to close, and I know we'll leave some time for questions and answers. I want to close simply by reiterating what Gerard said in his own remarks. I'm in favour of free trade. I think that back in the early 1970s, there was an argument of a sort for Britain joining the European Union, or common markets it then was, because there would have been free trade in industrial products with our European neighbours. Good. The truth is that nowadays that case can no longer be made for two reasons. One is the whole world since the 1970s has moved towards free trade. In that sense, capitalism has won the debate, free trade has become the norm, China has become a free trader, you know, it used to be completely closed, communist and so on. And the other reason is that the EU has reached free trade agreements with significant nations outside Europe. And that's all that we ever wanted. All right? Most people in Britain did not want their country to surrender its sovereignty, did not want to become part of the United States of Europe, you know, which, you know, we're just like, you know, Illinois or Florida or something, but we're just, you know, part of this United States of Europe. No, we didn't want that. And as Gerard has very correctly highlighted, the Canadian agreement between the EU and Canada could also be between the EU and the UK. We continue to be friends with our neighbours, continue to trade with our neighbours, continue to visit our neighbours, and so on, just as we want. We can govern ourselves. That is why we must be the European Union. This is a leap into the dark. This is an abyss. This is like going to outer space. For heaven's sake, look around the world. There are 170 countries that are not in the European Union. Let's just join them, just like any other country in the world. So, we leave the European Union, and then we can trade freely, happily in some of our neighbours. We can have what we've always wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got the best arguments. We have got the best arguments. And for the economics front, they're going to make sure we keep having the best arguments. We believe in those arguments too. All right. I mean, I think one of the things that's kind of going to come out in the next few months is the relative, like, passion. I mean, passion is a cliche word, but the passion of the two sides. You'll see that the people on our side really believe what they're saying. On the other side, they don't. Win the debate, and Britain's going to become an independent country again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.